Welcome to Ever Beyond,
Beyond, Beyond, Beyond, Beyond, Beyond, Beyond, Beyond,
on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond,
beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh, yes, you are. You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Let me just press that button there. Turn that one on and then take that one off. That's better. That stopped that nasty humming in my ears. You can't hear it, but I could. There's still one other nasty hum. Yeah, I can live with that one. Anyhow, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and good morning. I think that's just about covered it. This is Ever Beyond. It is the 28th of February, and I just want to wish my son a happy 5th birthday tomorrow. He's actually 20, but being a leap baby, he only celebrates... Well, actually, he spends about 3 days celebrating them all. It doesn't really matter, you know. He just enjoys a good party. Anyway, tonight, I was kind of allowing the universe to kind of loosely connect with me.
Hello.
There you are.
Oh, my God. You'll never guess what happened.
Your computer exploded. There was black smoke everywhere. And,
yes.
And then you had to get a blanket to in order to
send
the digital signals across by smoke.
How did you know? JP, I'm sitting here and exactly at 6 o'clock. Uh-huh. There was an explosion outside. My power went out. Everything just stopped. And there was all this weird sound of some kind of an explosion. I don't know what the hell it was. I'm thinking, this is really weird. Exactly. I looked at the clock. This is exactly at 6 o'clock.
This is the effect that the energies are having. Right.
is the effect we are having.
That's right. I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
We're moving some shit, I tell you.
I guess we are. Well, don't pick on my computer.
It's indiscriminate. It's just like there was probably a weak bit of dust that you needed sorting out anyway.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It's a sort of, regard it as a diagnostic.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. JP.
Have you done any backups recently, by the way?
Oh, gosh, you know what?
Brothers and sisters in Radio Land, please run a backup. You never know when you'll need it. It might be tomorrow.
Especially in this time, time, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
the fire siren's just going off. So
oh,
something,
nice one.
Something serious. Now I hope they don't come to my house.
Yeah, evacuate the town, you know. Sorry, there's been a chemical leak. Yeah.
Get on the ship.
That's right.
Get on the train, on the bus. There was a big FEMA.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we got a nice bed for you. Yeah.
We'll take care of you. Are you worried? Are you in fear? Guess what? We'll take care of it.
Here's a little silver foil blanket. Barbara Three Crow, good afternoon.
Well, hello there.
And welcome with a bang. Indeed.
I'll say
literally with a bang.
I'll tell you, my heart is thumping.
That's good. That's good. It's good your heart's thumping.
At least I'm alive.
You're going to need it. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, look, it's been
wow.
a few months since you've been hanging around here, and it's been lovely.
I've been hanging around here.
Hanging around, you know, in Wolf Spirit Radio Land, and yeah. So,
oh,
and because you know, because of my shifts, I don't often get a chance to actually speak to you. I hear you when I'm listening to Colleen and her shift, but most of the time, if I'm not on shift, I'm doing something completely other than radio.
Yes, counseling ghosts in your house.
Counseling ghosts in the house. I mean, for God's sake.
I had a little image of a ghost lying on a couch in your little attic.
Tell me about your mother.
With your leg crossed and a little padded pencil. It was, really cute.
Exactly. Well, it is a bit like that, except they're much. You don't really need to go too far into it because they only seem to get stuck in certain feelings. Now, you've had it. Eric was calling paranormal experiences yourself.
I have had a wide range of
you live
paranormal.
In the twilight zone.
I live in the twilight since I was age four.
Exactly. In the new normal, as we call it.
It's the new normal.
Well, but it's, you know, there is, all over the world, there are traditions that, you know, just accept this and that's normal and, you know, it's part of nature and deal with it, you know.
That's true.
You know, having a name like Three Crow would put you into one of those traditions, if I may make a presumption. do you want to talk a little bit about that? I don't know how to even put it. So please tell me your lineage. That's right.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much. And by the way, thank you for inviting me on. It all started with a. With listening to you and Yvonne and Max and I think someone else, but a question was posed. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm just going to say thank you for inviting me on because I popped a question to you what I thought might be of interest to people, and it has to do with the ringing, the sounds, the Morse code, all this stuff going on in people's heads and the atmosphere, and you thought, wow, that would be a great... We may get to it today, but anyway, that's why I'm on, and thank you so much. And well, let me see. I am a lineage of Nantuchoke Lenape, Delaware, which is part of First Nations people here on Turtle Island as a part of the Algonquian Nation, and also Celt, and a few other various things throw in. And just to say a significant piece here that when I was born with a call, and many people may know what that is. It's spelled C-A-U-L, and it signifies in the way of the old country, we'd say in Ireland, for instance, and even with First Nations people, it's a skin or a light skin or what we call a veil over a newborn's face, which is removed upon birth and thrown away. But in the old way, it would be kept. It would be very significant. But it signifies a person who has what we call the sight, which means you are psychic. You're born that way. You have psychic. You're clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudio, which means all these things are, you know, high on the list of someone who is known as a very crazy person. In a lot of people, you know, well, that person's strange, or that person, nowadays, it used to be they had the gift or they had the sight. And so I was born that way. My family knew it. It's my grandmother was that way too. And she has the lineage of the Native American, the Nantuchoke Lenape Delaware, plus Irish, Celt. And she was a great seer, actually. She used to talk to the spirits. I grew up in a household where she levitated tables in those days to call in the spirits, and my aunts with her and so on. And I was very young, and I would just observe all this stuff. And she talked to me, told me all about the little people, because she knew they were messing with me. And she knew I had the sight and so on. So I grew up pretty much like that. And but she died when I was 10. And I was sort of left on my own with all of these things that were happening to me. Visions and out-of-body experiences and talking to various beings and elementals and the little people and so on and so forth. And not really understanding what on earth was going on, because, you know, if you don't have a mentor, as you do in, for instance, in First Nations cultures, elders or the people that had this ability would know usually before birth, a child would be coming into the earth that would be very significant, and often they had an elder or even a shaman type person would take that child and mentor them, to help them, to be able to use these gifts for the good of everyone. So that is very important. When you have people coming in with these types of gifts and people, they have no mentor, they don't know what's happening, they don't quite understand. It's a very confusing experience when you have, for instance, a vision of the death of people, and it takes place not too long after that, when you're a child, a young person. And I used to tell my mother these things. I would say, I'm getting this feeling. Now, this is an interesting thing, because out of the blue, I would get this feeling, and I would say feeling, because it's like this odd heaviness. It's almost like a weight on you. And it would come into my gut, and my whole body would have this feeling. And not soon after that, I would get a message, or an event would happen that would be something tragic. And I used to tell my mom, and I think when I was about 15, she said to me, "Don't tell me anymore, I don't want to know." Because the majority of things that I would receive were really difficult. They were very difficult. And I often questioned that. Why me particularly? And I didn't know of others. Why do I get these visions of horrific things? You know, plane crashes or someone's death. I'm riding by the car with some parent driving, and I look at this person in their yard, and I get the message they're going to die. Next following week, I drive by again. There's an ambulance there, and I hear, well, they died. Why me? I would say. So I used to travel out of body more frequently as a child to events where people were being murdered, JP. Not just a natural death. And it was very, very difficult. And for many years, I was very disturbed about, why is this happening? Why am I at these events? You know, and I found out many years later by speaking to an elder, actually, another elder here in the area who's also Lenape, Delaware. I told him this one particular story that had been just weighing on my mind for so many years about this murder that I was present at, but I was in out of body. And I was observing this whole thing and actually waiting for the spirit or soul of the woman to help her across. There were other people there too, around me, other beings too. And I told him this story because it was very traumatic. And he told me, oh, that's the people of our, called the Turtle Clan. Some people in the Turtle Clan have this gift where they go out of body and travel to help the spirit soul of a person who has been murdered or is in some violation and their life is taken. I mean, that gave me a little bit of solace, but, you know, to know, well, this is actually some ancient thing here. Mystery, you know. Why are there certain people who have this, or were given, really, you don't step up to the plate as a human, say, I think I want to do this. You know, this is something that I guess you could say, well, you agree to do or take part in before you come here, you know, I don't know. But anyway, so these are some of the things that have, you know, happened to me. Very early, I had ET experiences, many UFO sightings, out of body, lost time. You name it, I guess, I suppose I've experienced. It seems to be quite amazing, but I call them miracles now because they're quite miraculous experiences. I don't have all the answers. I believe people when they tell me, you know, that this something or whether came and visited them and this happened and that happened, and because of my own extreme phenomenon experiences, I'm open to hearing people. I'm not a naysayer. It's their experience, and you can usually tell when someone is speaking their truth from their heart, from their real experience, you know. So I just am there to be a witness, in, I guess you'd say, witness other people's you know, phenomenon and the questions that they have. Exactly. Why does this, why is this happening, or what does this mean, and so on,
So the biggest image that I got, what you were just saying, was the image of the turtle, which, and I was thinking, interesting, a turtle. That creature is able to withdraw into itself, into a incredibly safe space, so it can astral travel.
Ah, well, you're right.
Isn't that interesting? And do you, have you got, I mean, do you exhibit, you know, other turtle,
I'm very slow to catch up on things. Uh-huh. Yeah, technology for one. I guess you could say, in some respects, what do you have in mind?
Well, you see, because there are, you know, there are beings from all over the galaxy.
Yes.
And everybody comes here from some place, for some reason or other. Some because of their great evolution. Some because of their lack of evolution.
True.
It seems. And here we all are, you know, and one group learns off the other. you know, we learn how to become better, more loving beings and all of this stuff. But the turtle is a wise, is such a wise creature, and it like I'm saying, you know, it barely exists on the ground. It just has a presence, like a little spaceship. moving around slowly on the surface of the planet.
Good analogy, actually, like a little spaceship,
A little organic spaceship. I don't know if you ever saw the TV show, what's it called, Farscape?
No.
No. They have organic, they had an organic spaceship with a driver, and the driver actually looked very turtle-like. He had a very turtle-like shell and face and thing. Anyway, meanwhile, so you grew up with this stuff going on. It's really, now here's the thing. In your, you know, research about, like, who am I, have you come across the idea that, well, all of this stuff that happened to me, I prearranged?
Well, not to say it exactly like you're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is an agreement. I call it our original agreement, and just the way I speak about this is that we all agree to do certain things, to participate in certain types of things as we come through different reincarnations or incarnations. I do. So I guess you could say, that I. All this is a plan. Is that what you're referring to? Are you there?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah, that...
I feel that I made an agreement. I feel we have an original agreement before we come through different timelines to participate in certain things. We have to... It's not like coming blind here into, you know, just coming, plopping down here and going, what? You know, what is going to happen? What am I doing? Who am I? What? We do that anyway, but we've already made an agreement to participate in a certain way. But we come here and we sort of forget that agreement. I feel that the journey that we're on here in our lifetime hopefully will unfold before us so that we can get the pieces of this great puzzle to put together to remember our agreement of what we came here to do or participate in.
And so, it's being able to live our life with the knowledge that we're doing this, that, you know, that there's a, you know, that there's a purpose and reason to all the things that happen to us, and that sometimes, if we'd have known about it, it might not have engendered the correct reaction. You know, that we send each other into these, we send ourselves into these scenarios that we have to act in our, you know, authentic way. You know, if we knew, oh, well, this week I'm going to face these challenges and these challenges, you get a bit complacent, don't you?
Absolutely you do. Well, people are complacent anyway, even when they get a strong message to do something. This is an issue that we all deal with. I certainly did it. And even though I say it's like, okay, you have, I'll just speak for my own self and my own experience, okay? Just sharing this. So I say that there was an original agreement, and I describe it as the great sacred web, that we are all on the great sacred web or the wheel of life. And because of the agreement, that means it's written in the, imprinted in the ethers or imprinted in the great consciousness, okay, that we agree to do certain things. And in our experience here, it's a timeline, of course. In spirit realm and the other realm, Ether's realm, there's no timeline. But when we get here to this experience, there is a timeline. And that involves many other people that, for instance, who are living here with us, who have agreed to participate with us as well. We may not know them, or we may not remember them, but we came here to be with them. And then there are those unknown to us, but we also made an agreement with them. And if you look at a spider's web and you realize you're on one point of this web, way over there in the corner, just living your life, going along as you please, thinking, well, everything's just fine and dandy, I'm okay. And you're supposed to be coming up soon on another part of the web because you agreed with the person who is now within a physical body, you agreed in the realms to participate with them, to meet up. We'll call it a meet up on the sacred web. So you need to be there because that meet up involves the whole of the web and all people who then in a repercussive or domino effect will be involved. This is very crucial. So if you're lagging around or sitting on your duff and just not paying attention and you are not making movement, you're not listening to guidance or the signals or the signs or the dreams, or then I call it the 2x4. Spirit's going to whack you with a serious 2x4 to wake you up to say, you know, hey, so to say, well, wait a second. Why did this happen to me? Why did this, what's going on here? To actually take a moment and question, so you could have had an accident, you know, you could broke your leg or a car hit you or something, or diagnosed with some major illness. Instead of being a victim or, you know, grunging around blaming other people or so on, I think it's helpful if we sit quietly and ask guidance, what's going on here? Why is this happening to me? Is there something I'm missing? Is there a piece here that's so important that I really need to receive now? And oftentimes it is. I would say 99% time it is a piece that you need to look at. That means a life change for you, that you're not listening. In order to get to the other side of the web and meet up with certain people, you got to make a life change. We don't want to change our life. We're just sitting here having a great time. We call it the comfort zone. But we have work to do here. We made an agreement. Well, I'm speaking about myself. I made an agreement, and I tried to stay on my little corner of the web. I tried. Boy, was I, yeah, I was glued there. I'm not moving. I'm not doing what I'm hearing you asking me to do, because I was hearing it. Because I was afraid. It's new territory, stepping out, exposing myself, for instance, I felt. I made my life so that I could be very protected, quiet, safe. That's the comfort zone, I call it. It's really false. You're living a miserable life, but you think you're comfortable. Okay, so it's like time to pull up your big girl panties and get moving on life here, because life is going by. You're needed. You made an agreement to take part in certain things. And that's what happened to me, the 2x4, and had to really change my life to be able to come to this point where I'm talking to you, JP, and many other things that happened, that I became a spiritual teacher. I was adopted into the Lakota tradition. I'm a carrier of a sacred pipe. I'm a sun dancer. And I'm teaching, you know, various things through prophecies that came to me. This never would have happened if I just stuck there in that corner of the web, you see.
And if you'd have been a careful driver or whatever. Like myself, you know, 30 years ago, I was a reckless biker, and I crashed into a car, and I was going very fast, and this car was going very not very fast, and you know, the twain met, and strangely enough, it happened on a road in London known as the Seven Sisters Road.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. They're so funny, aren't they?
They take the
piss. Isn't spirit funny? Such a sense of humor.
So I spent 3 weeks in somewhere else, out of my body, presumably. I don't remember very much apart from what seemed to be a series of, like, surreal nightmare movies. But in a way, they were kind of... they were symbolizing where my life was. You know, what was... you know, the things that were really terrifying were the whole thing about conformism. That was where I, you know, that where I started. And I saw how members of my family had sold out to the conformism that is essentially, you know, skull death. But it then, you know, I experienced a vast amount of pain after the crash, because it was healing badly, and I was taken by my brother-in-law. Now, most of the people, you know, my brother-in-law was not the most, like, highly medical person in the family. He was, like, ill when he was a kid, and he'd never quite recovered. But he went to a faith healer, and he said, come along to my faith healer. So I went along to the faith healer. And I've told this story thousands of times, but I went 30 seconds. It took him to touch me until my pain stopped. And then a couple of minutes later, his wife said, oh, you can do this. You know, I'm a seer. I can see these things, and you can do this. You can be a healer. And so that's where it started.
Where was the injury, can I ask?
Everywhere. I broke my right arm, my ribs. The ribs cut through my liver.
Wow.
I also had broken pelvis. What else was broken?
Wow, the whole foundation.
Yeah, I was pretty cracked up.
Isn't the liver the anger organ?
Yeah, and you know, I never thought that I was an angry person. You know,
okay.
I never considered that was it was. I was just really, I suppose what you'd call these days, you know, like manic depressive or something like that. But mostly depressive.
Huh.
Yeah, gloomy and unhappy. It's interesting because that connects with now I've discovered there are past life connections to this liver injury, of a thing that happened in Roman times that I was stabbed by a Turk that I'd gotten into a conflict with. He was a flesh trader and, I'd gotten drunk and belligerent and, you know, long story. But it was these stories about indulgence and overindulgence and things like that, getting me into trouble and, you know, letting other people down, really.
So there was no anger behind that, right? just for fun.
Not much, yeah. I had all these I got this big scar on my leg. So I completely changed. I went from being somebody, a technical, you know, computer whiz kid, to kind of slightly spaced out and rather psychedelic.
Suits you well.
Yeah, I then went into music. I'd always played music since I was 15, but I thought, right, well, screw this. I actually thought, literally, sod this for a game of soldiers one morning in 1990. And I thought, right, okay, I'm going to focus more on my band, and who knows where that leads. It actually went not very far, but we had good fun, and we made some good tunes, and I still have them. I play them sometimes.
I love your music. I've heard some of it when you've played it. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So that was the mystery school. And then I met the Buddha, and then I got married, and then I had a kid, and then I got divorced, and then I came to Scotland, and got married.
You met the Buddha?
Yeah. That was just
okay.
Glastonbury.
Oh.
No, actually London. Primrose Hill in London.
You talked a little bit about the wedding there and how these Buddhists showed up.
Monks. That was Avebury. That was Avebury.
Avebury, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Avebury.
But in Primrose Hill, which was just overlooking London near Regent's Park, there is a sacred spot in London. And there's this, it was like a community hall, and my girlfriend took me along at the time. And immediately I saw the guy, I thought, big bear. He was like, huh? And he actually looked like a bear, you know, had that bear-like movement. And I just thought, big bear, and he turns out to be from a Blackfoot tribe.
How interesting.
From Oregon, from Tillamook, and something to do with when he started externalizing, that great big Sri Yantra appeared in Oregon. The crop circle that wasn't in crops, it was cut into the ground by some mysterious means. So there's, you know, there's all these little signs. Anyway, but what he said just made the most sense to me. It just, everything dropped into place, and that's where I learned about the seven rays, and that was where, you know, that's where all the seeds were growing, and all the rest of my life, kind of those seeds were growing. By the way, you're not hearing a whistle in your head. It's actually my kettle whistling in the kitchen. So I do need to go.
I don't hear it. Right. You're making tea.
I make tea all the time. I've got a wood stove that just boils water randomly. Because I've already got a cup of tea. There's one here.
So yeah, you told me you were making tea already. I was thinking, you have to run off a bit to
look. In terms of your mentorship, I think this is the most important thing. Where was the point that suddenly you realized, oh my God, somebody, or whatever you think, somebody finally understands what I've been going through and can kind of pick this stuff out? Was there a point? Was there a person? What was that meeting like?
Well, actually, it was my personal experience, because when I was 16, and I don't know how this came about, and I have this somewhere in a box, a book fell into my hands, as Dolly's always saying, no, the book just came off the shelf and whacked me. This book came into my life, and it was Developing Your Psychic Abilities. I don't know how I got this book, it's so long ago, but it sort of put it all together for me. It helped me to understand about a receiver, psychic receivers, psychic senders, all this stuff, you know, about the clairaudio, where you actually hear spirit speak to you, just like you and I are talking, clairsentient, where you actually experience another person's physical ailment, and also you hear their inner voice. You know what they're saying. I could look at people and they would talk, and I could tell that they were really saying something else. Most of them, and I would say discerning that this is an untruth there, in other words, and I can read body energies and feel it within my own self. So I could be sitting with a person and I could suddenly feel my throat starting to tighten up, and I would say, what's going on in your throat right now, to that person? They say, oh, well, I just feel this heaviness right here now, like I can't breathe, or something like that. So that's clairsentient. And various things. So reading all this in the book gave me a sort of like an aha moment, because I was like, that's what this is. Because I thought that I, as a child, a young person, I thought that if you think of something or dream of something and then it happens, that you are creating it. You're making this happen. And I was terrified. It's really a huge burden. So, that helped me a lot. Let me see. I will say that now I'm in my 40s prior to that I got hit by the huge 2x4, and had to change my whole life. Well, let me say I didn't have to. I could have said to the spirits, okay, thank you for your help for the healing of this breast cancer, and now I'm just going to go on about my way and just hunker down over here on this side of the web because I'm fine. They were asking me to do something that I had no clue about why they were asking this of me. It was a whole other direction. And it was very scary to me, and I felt like I don't know anything. I'm, you know, why are you asking me to do this? And so I was in my, at that point, I was in my early 40s, and not long after that, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, as the spirits told me I would be, because they were asking me for 2 years to do something and I was refusing. And out of the blue, they just said, you're going to be diagnosed with breast cancer, which happened. Within that month, I found a lump on my left breast, and it was malignant, a very fast-growing malignancy. And during that period of time, I was given a vision. I've talked about this before. This was a major 2x4 in my life. I had to really start thinking about things. I had to change my life incrementally in that point. I had to start saying no to people. I had to start taking care of me. I stopped working. I changed my diet. I started really working with healing energies that I was very familiar with prior to that, but sort of had kind of left somewhere, you know, along the way, working with color healing and visualization and so on. And I was had a vision, and I was guided to go to the mountains and near where I live, which First Nations people refer to as the Manitou, which means where the spirits live. It's a very powerful, amazing place. And I spent a lot of time up there, always, but I was guided to that mountain to go search for a particular stone. Now, I'm totally in the dark about what I'm being told to do, but I'm following because this was such a profound vision. And thankfully, I followed it. And I found the stone that they were guiding me to. And then they guided me to do a particular ceremony, again, all unknown to me. And during that time I was doing this ritual or ceremony with this stone, I was transported out of body and experienced, you know, something very profound and beautiful. And I knew when it was complete that the cancer was healed, which it was. And this was verified. And in that moment, though, I could have made the decision. I could have said, thank you for the healing and now goodbye. But because it was so profound, and because I guess on somewhere in myself I'm maybe a little wise, I agreed to do what they were asking me to do. And that changed my whole life and led me onto this spiritual path. And in that period of time, I met my teacher, Wallace Black Elk. He's the one who saw me. And I'm in my 40s, mid-40s, and he is the first person who said to me in the way he spoke to me and asked me to do certain things. He saw me. He saw the gifts that I was born with. He's the only person in my life, except for my grandmother, of course.
That must have been some feeling.
It was extraordinary. I wept because I felt like I had come home. Well, being in the ceremony, and that, people call it a sweat lodge, but it's an Inipi. It's a purification healing lodge. I just cried because I felt like I had been on a long journey searching for home, and I finally found my home. And then he started teaching me. He just kept bringing me on, and I kept resisting. I kept saying, why is he, I know nothing. I'm nobody. What is he talking about? You know, that old stuff. He would say something to me and it would go one through one ear and out the other, but he was very patient and strong, a strong teacher, and put me through my paces big time. He showed me how to stand up in the face of attack, spiritual attack and physical attack and emotional attack. And that was an amazing gift, and I needed it very, very much. I needed it. And so he was the first one, JP, and it was a beautiful gift. And of course he would say to me, the spirits recognize you and they like to hear you sing. And I thought, that's really kind of funny. How nice of him to say that. But when he was dying, he asked me to come and help with ceremony with him and other people helping him. And he told me, no, he said, the spirits would come and they would say to me, we recognize her. We love to hear her sing. Well, you could have hit me with a 2x4, which it was. It was like, wow, all this time I didn't get it, you know? I didn't get that piece. But that's the person that, and I have been attacked by others, friends who I learned very early as a child to keep certain things quiet, certain abilities that I had, because there are people who are so, well, there's jealous people for one, and there's doubtful people and fearful people. And when you start talking about certain things, you're either terrifying them, or they're jealous of you, or disbelieving. It doesn't matter, but I learned very early. And I often joke about, you know, I keep a very low profile. Try to. And then I found myself, due to an experience that was one of those attacks, I wound up talking to Gerald Whitehorse standing up there at the Cree Nation in Saskatchewan. I was guided to speak to him about this incident. Very dark, dark experience. And he brought me on his talk show with, you know, Patty Walking Turtle. And then Patty brought me on her show, and then she wanted me to do a show. So now here I am talking with you, and I have a show on Wolf Spirit Radio. So I'm no longer hiding, I guess you'd say. That's how Spirit wants it, I suppose.
That's the way. Uh-huh. You know, I'm quite, to be honest, I'm quite a shy person. But when I'm sitting by my computer, I don't mind talking to people. Because I can, you know, remain sort of shy at the same time as being open and doing my job and sharing this information. You know what I'm saying?
So I do.
This is the ideal medium.
You know, I don't have, you can't see me. I don't have one of those, you know, I come up on your Skype page there. You don't see me, right? And that's my choice, because I guess I'm still hanging on to that little piece of, I don't want to be seen piece, you know. I am very shy, and it took me many, many years to have confidence in myself. I had very low confidence, very insecure as a young person. And you know, I could go into why, you know, the alcoholic in the family and alcoholism in the family, running through the family, stuff like that, the chaos and the dysfunction. And all purposeful, all significant to who I am today. I can look back now where I am in my life at 73, and I can say everything that happened to me, even the most horrific things, was meant to be. It got me here to where I am today. And because I counsel people and work with people on those levels, I can experience their experience. I know, in other words, I can identify, I can connect with that. I'm not just somebody there sitting with I don't have a degree. I'm spiritually taught. I'm an empath, and I also receive guidance. And so I don't have a $50,000, $60,000 piece of paper in a black frame on the wall that says I have, I'm authority now, and now I can heal you. Now I can cure you because I went to school. I don't have that, you know. So that took a long time for me to be able to have confidence in what spirit, the guidance that I've been receiving since childhood, and the many blessings, you know. So my life experience helps me to be present with people who have, you know, who need help. You just don't sit there with the book in front of you as a psychotherapist or psychologist and say, well, you've got this issue and this is what needs to be done and so on. I don't have that. It's very different, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah, so, well, what do we take it to? Because we always have to take our experiences to the next level. And we start off apparently as victims to this stuff or this thing or these people or this or that. And eventually, if we're doing it right, we have used those people or those events or those scenarios as triggers to elevate ourselves, to springboard us up by having us having something to run away from so that we run towards the appropriate place.
In many absolutely. In many cases, that's very true. I agree with you there, yeah. I feel that, as I say, I can look back now at every point in my life. I mean, really horrific things that may have happened to me, and I see them differently now. I know that those pieces on this web of life got me to where I am in this moment right here with you. And that's very important because I learned to look at things in my life differently. I as you're speaking about, if we're doing it right, I guess what you just said. And what does that mean? See, that throws out a big question here when you say, if we're doing it right. And people will say, well, how do you do it right? What does that mean? So there's a lot to talk about in that.
It unpacks, it's like a zip file. And that's what, you know, that's what symbolic languages and meta languages and how we take up, you know, we take words apart. You have a lot of people who take words apart these days, you know, and look at how they are constructed to derive their true meaning. The way we, you know, I mean, even if you just take, you know, the word dragonfly. Everybody thinks, oh, a dragon. But a dragonfly, oh, how nice. And,
right.
And yet, it's a dragon, which is like fearsome, and it's a fly, which is like horrible, you know. But dragonfly, everybody loves dragonfly.
Everybody loves dragonfly.
You know what I'm saying? Ah, dragon. get away. So, words are, we often don't actually listen to the words that we use.
You're right.
And words are, as we know,
have energy.
Creative formation of realities using words, which is how we have been hijacked, because we're forced to say words. We're forced to fill in forms, you know, all the time. Fill in a form with your address. You already know my bloody address. You just sent this thing to me. Why do you want me to write? It's a ritual. It's a mind control. Yeah, this is who you are and this is where you're from. And all of these forms prevent us from... they're attempts to prevent us from experiencing life as spirits in an avatar body.
Well, I think they're also meant to keep us stupefied, you know, like really dumb and stupefied and frustrated because, you know, you keep going and they keep saying, well, yeah, give me your address. Well, you just sent this and you have my address. Well, but you have to write it in. And so there you have this frustration, this underlying frustration and aggravation. And then you feel, you know, so you have all that constantly going on. And, you know, and I feel that the... I feel that our language is very messed up, and because it everything is a frequency, as we've often spoken about. Our thoughts are frequency, our words are frequency, our emotions have frequency. So frequency is a continual vibration that activates everything around it, and it continues on into the ethers. That's how powerful we are. So, you know, when you use language, of course, we've been, as you say, we've been corralled into certain words and certain types of expression that are really manifestors. They're manifestors. And so, but we've been duped into that. You know, how do we communicate with each other? And people don't even realize that, you know, when they say certain words, like you're speaking about, what the emphasis is, what it is doing. When you emphasize a word, they don't get it, how that's affecting the whole and how it is actually creating and manifesting. So speaking, for instance, of manifesting, when people want to manifest, they often say, well, like the words, I wish this and I wish that, or I hope for this or I hope for that. That's very vague. It's really not precise. It's not succinct. And in my understanding, and I'm trying to say very I'm trying to remember to say inner standing, because there's a very big difference when you say, oh, I understand, rather than, oh, I inner stand. There's a very big difference in those two words, in those two expressions. So I'm working to remind myself in certain instances to say, in my inner standing, I've gotten this peace. So...
yeah, all right, we get you.
Right? That the universe responds in kind to what we are manifesting. So the universe is a constant connectedness to every frequency, including every one of us. So when you speak, the universe listens and responds accordingly. So if you are wanting to manifest something and you say, I hope to have this, or I hope to be able to, or I wish, or I'm wanting, or if only, the universe goes, huh? Because it's sort of like the response could be very vague, because you're vague. You're speaking in a vague manner. You're not very succinct with what you are desiring, right, or what you aspire to. So this is very important for people to understand or understand. This is, how do we manifest? And we are manifestors continually. We are manifesting, but we're not conscious of how we're going about it. So that's just, you know, the language thing here is, so it is the I am. It is in the now, I am. So when I was working with cancer patients, for instance, or people who have an illness and are working with their immune systems, working to speak to this issue that they're dealing with. So when we speak to our immune system, we are basically moving through from the thought of the mind, which we choose. We choose the thought. We choose how we're going to communicate. And that communication moves into, energetically, the hypothalamus. And then the hypothalamus, okay, sends that information that we have just chosen to our immune system. So when you say, I desire or I want to be healthy, it's very vague. Okay, so yeah, okay, so you want that. Well, there's a timeline here. When do you want it? How do you want it? You know, so on. So if you say, I am healthy, my immune system is functioning perfectly and beautifully. So that's very different. It's sort of an alert. Wait a second. The immune system goes, oh, wait, somebody's speaking to me and they're telling me something. Oh, they're saying I'm healthy. They're saying I'm in balance. Rather than I want to be, I wish I could, or I hope to. You understand? It's like the
absolutely.
Different...
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to take it even further. I've been working with a particular one, which has really been quite a challenge to get my head around. And this one is about, okay, yeah, okay, we manifest, that's true. So, what is it that I want to manifest in order that I may, not worry about bills? Right? I don't want to worry. So, rather than saying, I'm happy not to worry, what would make me not worry? Well, we all worry about money. So if I use money, we all use money. That's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can use money. Yeah, I know how to use money.
Okay.
I can use more money. I easily know how to use more money. All of these are positive statements. So that's
to
the
some
one.
Degree.
This is the one, yeah. But by
I'm gonna disagree.
All right. But
I'm gonna disagree to agree.
This one works.
Good.
But where would you want to take that?
Okay, here's just my perspective on this. Money is energy. Everything is energy. Okay. How do we work with energy? It's very important to know this. So it's a frequency, it's an energy. So if people fear money or believe they don't have money or they'll never have money or other people have money and so on and so forth, they're speaking to this energy money. So I have a way of, for instance, putting my bills in my wallet. Okay, this is just my thing. My wallet.
When you say bills, you're talking about
money,
currency notes. Yeah.
Yes, I'm currency.
As opposed to your electric bill, which is
my electric bill.
I thought, oh, that's very interesting.
I have a different way of dealing with those.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, right. Well, actually, we could talk about that. How are we going to deal with that electric bill too? That's interesting. So I take the 20s. I take the 10s, I take the 5s, and I take the singles. I place them all in the same position, okay? The face is upright, and it's facing towards my right, okay, in my wallet. So they're laid out flat. They're not crumpled in there, shoved in there randomly, and all mixed up and messed up, because that's, that's confusion, and it's disrespect, okay? And it's not knowing this energy, how to really deal with the energy of money. So in my mind, in my energy, my own energy field, when I'm working with money, when I receive money, I say, oh, I'm so grateful for this money. I'm so grateful for this abundance. Let this abundance is flowing into me and moving out and coming back. And so there's a beautiful cycle here, a circle of flow of in and out and in and out, right? So that's one way that I deal with that. I'm very grateful for the money that comes to me. I always saying I'm grateful. I'm not saying, geez, I wish I had more money. I'm not saying I know how to work with money, or I can work with money, or I can get more. I'm saying I am. Money is flowing to me beautifully, perfectly, and freely, you know. And if there's a certain amount that I think I might be needing next month, I tell the universe how much I need. I just say it. I am receiving the $500 that I need to pay this bill. You know, and I give it the time that I need it. This is the way of manifesting and speaking to the universe so that it responds. The majority of times, it's really quite amazing how it really works. It's a different way of using our language and energy, frequency, and respect for this, I guess you say, the universal law of communication between us as a being here with the atmospheric beings, the elementals, and all those intercessors in between, you know. And my understanding is that everything in creation that we need is already present. We are not really creating anything. We are aligning ourselves with what is created. Okay? And now, aligning ourselves is an energy. It's opening the doorway, for instance, opening the gateway through the language that we use, or through our visualization, whatever you want to call it. So there is nothing new. It's already in existence. That's the beauty of creation. But if you are not receiving, you're out of alignment with the flow of what has already been in creation. And how are you disrupting that flow? Is it your thoughts? Is it your doubt? Is it your fear? Because this is what happens. You shift a little bit, leaning out of the flow of abundance, for instance. So you're leaning out of sync, let's say, out of kilter with your thoughts. You lean a little bit, you know, you shift out of alignment or center. Okay, this is what I'm trying to describe to you.
Excellent. So let's take a break now. We have another caller. We'll bring them in.
Are we taking a five minutes?
Yeah, 4.5 minutes.
Okay,
so,
good.
This is Beatles and Free as a Bird.
Good.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. It's turtle talk. Turtle, white buffalo talk. I love that picture you got. White, but yes, a wise woman with a big white buffalo beside her. And here's Turtle Island News herself, Tracy Kennedy. Trace Elements, actually, now. You've morphed.
I've morphed recently.
You've gone turtles to elementals.
I have. I've gone full old school.
So what's news? I mean, you've been, or do you want to join in with what we're talking about here?
Whatever you want to do, I'm ready.
Good. I got a real a lovely feeling when you joined the chat room today. I don't know what it is, but it was like, oh, it's like you came. It's like you've been out and you've come home, and it's like, oh, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, it felt the same. You know, I had my little pout on because Dave's not here, and then recently I haven't come in just because I haven't been feeling well. So I am grateful to be with you tonight. And Barb, I've missed you so much, girl.
I've missed you too. I've been worried about you. Yeah,
you
know, I told you my
like every day.
I know.
I couldn't even stand it.
Yeah. Yeah. And laugh a lot. Yep. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I had a feeling, I said to JP when he said, do you know, Tracy's going to join us. It's so wonderful. I had a feeling you were going to come in, so I'm happy that you did. It's, you know, it's really, like I said, you know, I've known that you've not been feeling well, and occasionally I've been looking at your little reports about your process of your self-healing that you've been going through.
I've been posting them. People were asking, so I thought I would just post.
Yeah, and so that's good to show people, you know, what your process is and your determination. Your commitment is so important, of course, too. So I'm happy that you're here with us. Yeah, really.
Yeah, until the whole planet blows up, I'm not done. And even then, they may need another bomb.
You're clinging on to that bit of rock.
We'll all be transported to the place, whatever the place is.
Whatever the place is, I'm holding on to this little piece of rock. I'm staying with the mother.
Yes.
That's my thing. Although, you know, I've been working with Kesh a lot, and he's so much telling people about how we're going off world, and I'm like, you little boys, get on that ship and go on.
You know, I have to say that some elders did say once, talking to me years ago, said that their story, I guess you'd say their origins, came from the Pleiades. He said they made a mess up there on some one of those places, and they had to come here to Earth. And
that is the story, right?
And then it goes on to the next one. They said, we go off planet here, off Mother. We're going someplace else. We hope that doesn't happen. We're trying to do everything. And I guess the everything means to not mess up here like happened in the prior times. I think that's
Being dicks. All right.
Tracy and I aren't part of that.
Yeah, but I realize the dickness.
The dickness.
The dickitude.
Aww, we love our brothers. We love our brothers.
We love our brothers, but if they could take their hands off that thing for a minute.
They can't help that, too. I see that.
Just a minute.
They start really young. I'm sorry, I forget
this
we're off.
This is why Barb and I usually don't.
This
do
is everybody.
This is ever Tracy. Beyond. We're
See,
going
I'm
beyond.
I'm not like this until Tracy gets involved. This uh-huh. is, she leads me down the path.
You can easily blame Tracy.
It's absolutely all my fault. Normally, what I just do is type to her like inappropriate things.
And I get right in it with her. She brings it out in me. That's my true nature, but I don't tell anybody.
It's her fault. It's all her fault. So,
sit my fool.
Yeah. All right. So I just milk a bit of that Catholic guilt out of you. Anyway, yeah. So look.
Ever.
All right. Right.
Well,
okay.
I just want to say about our brothers here. Okay. So we love the brothers.
So
we really
take
do,
your
right?
hand off that thing.
Well, let's forget about that part for now.
I'm holding my cigarette lighter instead of my thing, okay?
Okay,
I'll hold on to my microphone if you like. Anyway, it's got ample girth. Listen.
Wow. Thank you for that. I'm really interested now. Too bad you live so far away.
I know.
Right?
I'd like a little cottage.
See how she is?
Yeah.
She only encourages me. I'm sitting here reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Song of Solomon. Yeah, I know. I know the bits of the Bible that you like.
Sodom and Gomorrah is more like it.
Exactly what were they doing? What was bad?
You don't really want to know.
Tell me the bad things.
We're heading there. I think it's ramping up. Pretty much
repeating. Oh my God. Oh my God, right?
What will we learn? But we're here. We're here. We're doing good things. People are really waking up. People are, you know, coming around, don't you think?
Yep. And there's a people. Look, I want to get to this, right? But, or rather, there's a point that I want to get to. But, yeah, okay. I think people, there is some sense to me, from what I've figured out, right, is that we're in a fractal omniverse, right? Everything has a particular reflection, a particular pattern that occurs over and over again on different layers of scale, just like music. Everything's just exactly the same as music, right? Uh-huh.
Nothing is more beautiful than a chorus.
Yes. So, listen. In the days, now, several years ago, Tracy did a reading. She went back in the days when she didn't really kind of have much confidence in herself. You'd think, you know.
Tracy, but anyway, really?
Yeah, really, really, really. And because I was listening to the tape of this thing.
Shut up.
I was listening to the tape of this thing, and she was doing me a reading of her cards, and it was just stunning, just incredible what she picked up on. And I said, Tracy, you really ought to have a radio show. You should really be doing this. And she was like, nah, I couldn't do this in a million years. However, less than a million years later, look at her. She's got, you know, got another radio station under her belt.
Actually, it's true. Yeah. You and Dave both said, you need a show. And I'm like, what am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah, you're not interested in anything. You're just nobody. Anyway.
Look. I hate.
Exactly.
Well, what's brilliant about Tracy, and I want to say brilliant, is because it's the reading behind the lines of things. It's like putting the pieces together. It's like finding things that nobody else finds. It's like, that's what I really love, because that really gets us going. That's what we need, because you have, you know, a lot of mess out there, and she finds these various things. It's sort of like the pieces to the puzzle, and pulls them all together into something very clear and identifiable to, wow, you know, it's like, okay, you know, you may have had a feeling about something, but then you sort of overlook it or let it go, or then you miss it. You miss it with the next explosion coming. She puts it all together. She has that ability, which is, I think, brilliant. Not too many people have that ability.
Indeed. So.
Thank you.
Taking it back. When Tracy gave me this reading, right? She had no idea of the physics at the time of what it could possibly have made this at all possible. However, she picked up some things. One of the things was they came through the sun. They came through time. Way back. They were following some people. A planet exploded. They went away. And and they left you behind. That was the kicker. That was because the question in my mind was like, how did I get here? And that was like, oh, that so bloody makes sense. That, you know, it's like, you know, if you have a sort of overall feeling, a sort of overall kind of psychic atmosphere in my beingness all my life, it's like, oh, that makes sense. That totally makes everything sense. Right.
You know, I rarely do readings, but everyone in my family does readings. Well, actually, not anymore. it mostly stemmed from my grandfather. And
What side was he? Well, I mean, where?
He was my grandmother's side. He was actually Jewish. So we are actually not biologically related. He fell in love with my grandma, and the time was completely inappropriate for two people to fall in love. He was fair-haired, well, actually dark-haired, but light-eyed. Jewish, didn't know it at the time. And she was a very dark-skinned black woman. They took a look at each other and never separated.
Oh.
That's all it took.
Melanin.
It was one of those moments.
Love at first look. No, sorry.
It was one of those moments. She had three children, three boys, and he was actually looking for someone. He was looking for a place to do his laundry. He had just basically got off the boat. This was after the Second World War. And was walking around with his bag and just wanted to know where he was and where he had to go. And apparently all he had to do was come in the house. And that was the last place he went.
So he had a gift where he did readings for people?
He had a gift and an incredible history that I found out later that he told me about. Him and I were so close that he had traveled with gypsies and learned how to read cards from them and then taught me how to dance. So, I am a marvelous dancer because of this man.
So this is Harrison Kennedy, yeah?
No.
No.
This is his stepdad.
Right. Okay.
This is my step-grandfather, but I just called him my grandpa.
My grandpa.
Who didn't find out he was Jewish until he went to his father's funeral.
And they had that funny little thing on the headstone.
It was a rabbi, and I'm
by
like,
the way,
his name's Morris. What did you think you were?
My name's Jaime. I'm a Catholic.
Your name is Joseph Morris. You were thinking you were Greek? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you got this time, but look. The story, because I've got to get back to this story, because it's really, this is the point I want to get to.
The story of you?
The story of me, but really the story that is that story. Because I then told that to a few people, and they said, oh, you've got to listen to Michael Tesarian, and he then was expounding on this story, which was in the Vedas, this, like, the oldest document
known to
humanity.
And which we've just found out is true, that there was an explosion, and moon was caused by an explosion, and that the Earth was caused by two planets colliding.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff, okay, then occurs the Maldek incident, and I'm finding out more and more about it. And then I heard Simon Parks talk about it, and that's why I got interested in what he was talking about. And then we find out Nassim Haramein talks about, well, you can use the sun as a time portal, of course, and it's cold. All right, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, all these little data points all gather together to show that this was not only a real event, but it was a pivotal event in our solar system's history. And I'm going to put forward even further that it was a 9/11 event.
It was a major thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a huge traumatic event for the solar system, and that the Pleiadians were duped and used by another group.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Exactly. Exactly. We talked about the aliens. By the way, JP was Merlin. I'm saying it.
I could see that.
And I called him that.
I can see it, yeah.
In another reading. He was also... Okay, I'm not going to say this one.
Oh, come on, Trace.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay. Male or female?
Mary.
Ah. Oh, wow. JP, are you there, JP?
When I tossed
I'm a bit uncomfortable about those ones. You know, I'm very happy to be, you know, some hapless plebe. You know.
Well, I have to tell you just a little brief thing here. Colleen had I was on my show Beyond Reality, and I was talking about past lives, and I asked her to come in and share some of her past lives. And one, she was very explicit about her time during the time of Jesus, and I had a past life in the time of Jesus, so we may have all been there hanging out together. Here we are again.
Totally.
I took her back to this friggin' amphibian thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just, what goes around comes around.
You know, and and I know that when we did this together, that it was not... You know how some people can do readings and it sounds like people just making it up on the fly?
Mm-hmm.
The reading I did with Colleen, who was like so awesome about it, I have to give her high fives again for that. I took her back through the door. I took her through the veil. I said, forget everything you are. Come with me. Let's go to a different place. I have never done that kind of reading again. This was different than what I usually do. And because I had done three readings that day of that kind and freaked people out so much, I thought, okay, maybe I should never do this again. I took them to something else, somewhere else, which was really friggin' cool. But it's
should
nice.
Should we get Colleen on and talk about it?
Yeah, if she would like.
Colleen, if you're into it, come in. You know where the door is.
You know where we are.
And let's talk about some of this past stuff. So One of the things that has happened since then is that I'm starting to meet other people who are in this kind of really confused state, and I'm also meeting people who don't like Pleiadians. They like that with periods between, you know, don't like Pleiadians. they're untrusted, and you know, and there's this funny little energy about it that is like, it's like people say, I don't like Muslims. You know, there's this thing, you know, all Muslims
do
this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm getting this whole, oh my God, this is the same vibe. This is the same pattern, the same structure. Therefore, it can't be completely as it appeared to be. It's how history was written. Or Akashic records were altered, let's put it that way, rather than history being written. History is usually faked, isn't it? Especially if it's anything to do with the Rockefellers. So look, having said that, who could possibly be behind this, and what would be the motives? What do you think? I mean, let's just go beyond, all right? You want to go beyond? Let's go beyond. If the Maldic event was a false flag, what was the situation going on?
Well, it can't be a false flag when it's a friggin' planet in you.
Well, in the it wasn't. See, because the Pleiadians have been blamed for this, right? It was a Pleiadian job, and it's the same way that the Islams have been blamed for 9/11. We know that that there may have been some sort of stupid little half-assed plan to hijack a plane and fly it into a building, but that was executed with computer-like accuracy, this whole thing. It was like
I have to say that when they asked which Mary? I said, Mary, the wife of Esau and Panthera. Mm-hmm. So I alluded a little bit into Jesus.
Esau.
Origin.
Oh, the cat dude. So
Esau and Panthera.
So look, so yeah. My ex-wife has married a man who's called Esau, because she's always been searching for Jesus. She's actually found a man called Esau, Turkish man. Anyway, there was another little snippet, is that apparently Jesus was a very bad-smelling person. He had terrible BO, and that's why people were always washing him and anointing him with oil in order to try and make him smell a little nicer. And even when somebody said to him, you stink, and he said, well, you stink on the inside, so
there you go. I'm better than you.
Boom.
Well, I feel that I feel the, because I know that I originally came in one period millennia ago from the Pleiades. Mm-hmm. Very strong connection to that, told for that long time ago when I was a child. I didn't understand what that meant. And I do hear people saying, oh, the Palladians, they're the bad guys, you know, I guess they bombed Mars or something like that, a colony on Mars. And I guess my feeling is that there's bad and good in all. But that's a good question, what you just said, JP. Who's behind all this? What's the reason for, who's behind this whole thing with the Muslims and so on? Same thing, I think.
It's, you know, if we look at two colors, for instance, black and white, they're both colors. They're actually the same. They're different sides of the exact same line. We, speaking, are the fulcrum. The place that balances or is imbalanced. Most things are the duality that they are playing big on. It's why they make people vote. They want them to pick a side. There would be no voting if there wasn't a choosing of sides, right?
Yep.
So this is the basic conundrum of the physical reality. We go through the darkness and our birth, and then they make us choose right from the beginning. Are you male? Are you female? Where most native cultures here on this continent had it at least four sexes. They let people pick one of four. It wasn't even a choosing. You could be male and want to dress female. You could be female and want to dress male. You could be female and want to be a warrior and fight and go, or just go out and hunt. You could be a male, want to dress as a female and not go out and hunt or fight. We allowed more options. People are, well, we've got these 10 fingers, 10 toes. We are so many more variants of things. But they want us to pick left or right, up or down. And I'm usually like, fuck your lefts and your wrong. Which is inappropriate, I understand.
Well,
it's okay. You can say it on Bull Spirit Radio.
If I might add to that too, Tracy, thank you for that, because many of those people, those two-spirited people, we call them, they're very respected. They were revered as healers.
These are the healers. These are the elders. These are the shaman.
That's
these
right.
These are the ones who know both sides, and because of that, can actually tell us what to do at that moment, because they know both sides. They are both sides.
Yep.
So they're the ones in the know. And you know, we had a word for them because I too, like Barb, are of the Iroquois Confederacy, Haudenosaunee on one side, Mohawk people, the Flint, and Haitian, African, who also had the exact same terms for the exact same thing. The story I got from my grandma was not about coming here in slavery. It was about coming to meet her husband, and it was an ancient thing. And they said they needed help and called us here. We know a whole bunch of stuff about history is absolutely a lie. We know this. We know this now. We met in Louisiana. I'm the seventh of my lineage here on this continent. He actually was found to be taken as a slave, which was odd at the time because, let's be honest, the Mohawks actually owned white slaves. Yes, white people. And he came up here and gave her a freaking continent. It's huge what he did, Joseph Brandt. It's huge. And not only did he piss every freaking native people off, he pissed off all the white people because he also brought up white people. Six Nations, who actually my son and my father go there because they have the best music studio and production team on this continent right now. People from all over the world are going to Six Nations Studio, who's named after my ancestor. So I reminded them of that little fact when they dissed me about how dare you call your station Turtle Island News. And I'm like, don't make me take back my land. I may have said bitches, which was inappropriate, but I might have.
We know that you would never use any form of speech in that way.
No. I might have said it.
Well, I think that the plan, you know, as I just wrote in the chat, it's not only about keeping us separate and keeping us hating and fearing each other. It's about keeping us separate from our connectedness to the Mother Earth, to all,
exactly,
you know, to creatures, to just to this peace, because we are connected. This is, you know, the Earth is our home, our mother, a sentient being, as is everything, has a spirit, living spirit, and we are connected energetically, spiritually, yes, everything, and their plan is to really to keep us so distant, so careless and unconcerned that it doesn't matter whether we destroy this or that or we're in the sixth instinct, extinction. It doesn't matter.
It does.
Because why bother? You know, I mean, the Earth is ramping up her frequencies for her own survival. She's creating super weeds against the super Monsanto pesticides. She's trying everything in her power. Her frequency is raising up. Her frequency is going to affect us. What's going on with all these frequencies, you know, between the harp, between the electromagnetic waves, between the Schumann resonance, and then the Mother Earth's frequency. So, you know, no wonder people are squirreling.
Breaking the continents apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
And moving them as in the days of old. There are continental shifts that have not happened that they've recorded, but it's always happened. And this is when Mom says, enough, don't make me call your father.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till he gets home.
Don't. It's too late, because if Mom's mad, it's already too late. She's not waiting for Daddy at this point. She's breaking apart. There's stuff out on the west coast of the Americas that you cannot even describe other than divine intervention. She is moving.
Mm-hmm.
There are crustal shifts going on right now that, you know, the last time, and we are relatively, let's be honest, new species. Mama's going to be fine. Us, it's not looking so good.
We might be hamburger. So listen, we have brought in Colleen because earlier on you said that you took her to a place. So, Colleen,
do you
want to share this?
Sure. Hi, everybody.
Oh,
you're back. Hi, Colleen.
Can you bring down your volume a bit?
Hold on.
Like
we
a lot
tell
about
the Sith lords in the background.
There we go.
It kind of sounded like that.
It is ship's my higher coming self in. Coming through.
That's right. Is that your reptilian side? Anyway,
that's powerful.
Sweetheart,
yes.
How are you? It's lovely to hear you. I haven't heard of you. I haven't actually spoken to you much for days, a week. So we kind of swap the shift. We toss the stays into each other, and you know, and then lay down for a while. lay down for a couple of days, and then you know, it's time to go back on. Right, okay, switch on the radio, and there we are.
You lay down?
Yeah. Well, I kind of hang upside down sometimes from the eaves of the house. So, yeah, do you want to bring us into the scenario? Hang on, should we have a...
Well, Tracy pretty much...
That door.
Do what? Say what, huh?
Do you remember when I took you back through that door?
Yeah. And I was a salamander. On a red planet. The dust was red. Everything, was red. I didn't see anybody around but me. It was kind of a strange thing because I'm not a big fan of... lizards or snakes or anything like that. So I was like, whoa, this is kind of weird.
So you remember the experience. And can you remember what it was like to look at things? Like, the way we look at things is different from the way this creature would be looking at things, for instance.
Well, things were a little... Because it was dark. Except then she asked me what color the soil was, the dirt, and I saw that it was, you know, like the soil out in Sedona and the rocks, that red color. As far as my vision, it was, I don't know, pretty much like it is now, is the way I was seeing things. But I didn't see anything else around other than dust and rocks. And once again, in my own little world.
Yes. You were also a man by a stream with a sphere.
Yes. I was a Native American, or at least an indigenous type male, who... apparently, in many lifetimes, I have not been one to be among the people, but out in front of the people, you know, looking out for dangers and good places to be, where there's water and game and no dangers and all that sort of thing. One who goes before everyone.
A scout.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said it was. I'm not sure what, you know.
There might be better words.
There might be. I just said one who goes before, so.
Yeah, she's always been complicated.
Not me.
And her being at that point as male was very strong. Had a firmer bone structure than us. And she described it in such detail that I actually looked it up, and there was a species like this. Exactly what you described. So know that we are not the first hominids. And we are not the greatest. But what Colleen described to me was an ancient people. Could have been anywhere, really, here
right.
on this planet. Could have been on the first island, Gashwanta. And some of the things that you said you saw, I looked up because you know I'm obsessive. There's a plant you described that I've never even friggin' heard of. And then found it. It existed.
I don't remember the plant.
It's like a lily. It no longer exists, but it did. So, you know, like JP was saying, and with JP, I went back before this earth. And it's coming to what we saw was the creation of this earth. And I know it sounds like I'm bragging, but we can now prove some of the stuff I said physically happened. Which a little bit rocks because I'm thinking, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So there you go.
Yeah, because when you're doing these readings, I certainly experience this. It feels like I'm making it up. It feels like it's just like, but I actually know that I can't. If I tried to make something up, I'd have a real hard time. But somehow it's, in a way, it's like improvising some music. You can feel the way it's moving. You know, you get an idea and you get a feeling of how the archetypal energy will expand yeah. into a reality, like unzipping a file or unzipping a template, let's say. It's a bit like, you know, you've got your Word 97 or that's what I use.
Yeah.
But you got your document templates. You know, there's one for a memorandum, and there's one for a formal letter, and there's one for a letter to the gas people. You know, and you got all these different templates, and those are archetypal patterns, forms, literally, in that case. But those forms also exist in other ways, and you can have a form that is like a procedure. That's also known as a form. It's an order of things. So where I'm going with that is that these, like I'm saying, you know, this was a 9/11 event. Okay, what other things have we looked at in history as we believe them to be as they are, but actually this isn't what we call now a narrative. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's different. You know, I can tell when people are just talking about something they're imagining at that moment. There's a difference when you say it and if you feel it. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. When you feel something, it's a memory. You have to feel it. You remember the smells. You remember colors when I even have to describe, because I had to do this with Colleen, describe what colors were. Because in that moment, I was talking to something else. I was not talking to Colleen. She didn't understand what red was until I described a color as hot. Is it hot? Or is it warm? Or is it cold? And she described the color as hot. I said, is it burning? No. It's hot. It's not cold. So we had to do a whole we had to learn each other's language when she described it. So I knew at that moment, she's friggin' seeing something. We are in another place together. And I am now communicating with an alien. Oh my God. Because JP likes fantasy. You like fantasy shows. You like fantasy images and reading. It was easier for me to open you up that way. Because part of you will always be open and be able to describe and hold a little bit of you here. I went to Colleen with a place that Colleen was no longer Colleen. She was not her. It was very cool. It was an awesome moment where we had to describe word for word what she saw, what sand was, what sky was, what earth was. It was miraculous.
You know, I was just thinking.
I was changed by the moment.
Okay, here's the thing. What if that salamander that you spoke to, that now is incarnated as Colleen, evolved because of that communication, because of that presence?
All these things happen.
And became who you are today. And who wrote that book? And who wrote that story?
Maybe we were always meant to see that. And I was always meant to be with you at that moment. How did that moment change me? I don't really even care, but it's freaking awesome.
All right. So here's another pattern. Okay, the pattern of the angel taking the human back in time to see how things began.
Oh, what if it was some? Oh my God! If it's me, we're screwed.
Yeah, and then there's Babylon 5 that takes not Sheridan, the other guy, back in time to become Valen. You know, we see this theme over and over again: the self-born.
Yes.
Self-born in time, as a product of an angel.
And what if the angels were always us?
Yeah. Because we go back and we go back and we go back, and the further we go back, we realize that we are a fragmented part of a greater being who literally has been shocked and traumatized and destroyed so many times that their psyche has split off and actually created a whole being all by themselves. And indeed, that we also, in our soul fragments, get fragmented, and those soul fragments become people eventually who you may meet, you may even come into conflict with.
But what if we've always known what we were, and there's always someone who takes us back?
I have a feeling that many of us here, not just on Wolf Spirit Radio today, but many of us have been together in many past lives. Just listening to, you know, a particular past life that Colleen was describing about herself as a male with a spear reminded me of a past life that I had myself in a very ancient time. I don't know where it was. It was along the coast. But it was with a particular man who was actually regressing me, who I knew, who does that. That's part of his work. And I had always experienced this from the time I was a child, this feeling in my stomach that was like this churning, burning. It was almost like I was being stabbed in my stomach. And I had no idea what it was, but he was regressing me back to past lives, and I was in with some people, very ancient, primitive people, long time ago. I don't even know the time. Very few people were on the earth. And whenever whoever was there met up, they usually started attacking each other, you know. So I was with a very small party of people, and we were attacked, and pretty much all of them were killed. It was probably about six people, and I was left alone, and I started a journey away from that group. I guess in a way I remember that I had to, my sense was that I needed to have some kind of revenge to honor my people. And on my journey, I was on some coastal area, a very wild coastal area, very rocky, very high cliffs. I don't know of any place like that here or at this time in the United States where I am, or even at this time particularly. And I was exhausted, and I found in some area I found like a hot pool down amongst some rocks, and I was going to go into this water that was steaming, and I kind of, you know, got down a little low down there, and was ready to go into these waters, this little pool. And I heard voices, and I scooted back into this crevice, sort of thinking I'd be out of the way. And down comes three men into this area, a very small area, and they were very muscularly built, as I was. I could only see my feet, my legs, which were bare. They were very short, squat, muscular men, very blonde, light-haired, long-haired. And one of them turned around and saw me, and he took this long spear and rammed it right into my gut. And I died in that life. But during this regression, I was there. It was so real that I let out this scream when I was, you know, impaled on the spear, that this guy Steve, who was regressing me, jumped. He practically fell off the seat. And it was intense. It was so emotional. My experience was so emotional. I was there. I could hear the roaring of the water. I could feel the spear. I could feel the fear, everything. And he asked me who I thought it was. Was there anybody in this life who I thought that may have killed me in that lifetime? And do you know, the answer came to me that it was him. I could never tell him. He was this kind of squat guy with blonde hair and very, you know, Nordic looking himself. But I never told him. I was just too stunned. So, and then I'm hearing Colleen telling her story about, you know, somewhere, seemed to me very similar territory. I'm not sure, but those kinds of things. Very real when you're there, when you're being regressed.
So, what a fascinating evening. Thank you,
yeah.
My sisters.
Thank you.
heading the grandmother's revolution into the new world. We've got lots of work to do to tidy the place up, I think. I built this website. It's called New Paradigm Workers. Is it? Yeah. NewParadigmWorkers.com, and it was basic. The basic idea was that we can see the current world collapsing, and we're here to start phasing in the new, because it's the moment when we can start doing these things on a grassroots level, and that forms a pattern. It creates a template for other people to do it all by themselves, like a precedent, you know. If you know such and such has done this before and it worked for them, then you can do it too. That's science. And so we begin to live a science-based reality where we all start to do things and learn new things.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So that's where we're at. And this is why we have Wolf Spirit Radio, Wolf Spirit TV, Wolf Spirit this and that and art.wolfspirit and books.wolfspirit. They all kind of semi-exist. I've made basic sites for them. I'm just looking for people to, you know, step up and say, oh, I can take that on. Oh, I can do that. And we already have. We've certainly had Vanessa and Dottie and Suzanne taking over on looking after the forum. And brilliant, brilliant stuff. That's what we want. All this interaction.
It's a great group.
It creates a vortex, and that vortex cleanses and reprocesses and repurposes all of our abilities, shares. Everybody who joins can share what they have. And that makes, you know, sometimes it's an unburdening.
Can I mention something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you'd be surprised, all the people who listen to us. Just because you don't hear or see them in chat doesn't mean they're not here. And on that day that I read for Colleen, I read for Two Dog, and I read for someone else, this person, you would know their name. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mysterious about this.
That's okay.
But when I make a promise, I keep it. And it's forever. And I have a lot of connections because of my father. I can mention that I can't bring in here. I'm friggin' practically music Illuminati. And it's true, and you can look up who my father is and understand this. It just takes a little bit of research. So, know that when I give you my word, I will never break that. That goes for everyone. I just wanted to say that.
And so, with that, the tambour arises. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for taking part. Thank you for listening and taking part. Thank you for just listening. Good night, everybody. This has been an Ever Beyond Radio production. Beyond.